Brother Montana, where'd you go? There you are. You want to come up here for just a moment? Okay, and lead us in prayer. It's good to have you in the class. He's our missionary in training at Dallas Theological Seminary.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
All right. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this day. I pray you'll just bless this time here, God, and you'll just help us to learn your word, and you just help us to just listen to you, dear God, and in your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, last week I had a question right at the end, actually after the class. And Isaiah's wife and sister-in-law, and some of them had questions. And I'm going to bring that out today. It's part of the class. It just fell into the class today. The title of the message is The Dark Side of the Kingdom. The Dark Side of the Kingdom. The Dark Side of the Kingdom. Okay? And we're in Luke, the 13th chapter. And verse 18, Luke 13 and verse 18. And we're going to read these verses and talk about them a little bit, and then we're going to go do some things in the Bible. We're going to talk about the end times. Okay? We're going to talk about the end times today. And try to get some of that straightened out. 13 and verse 18, "And therefore he was saying, what is the kingdom of God like? To what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew up and became a tree, and the birds of the air came and nested in his branches. Verse number 20, "And to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leaven." And what does leaven do? What does leaven do? It begins to decompose the flour. It decomposes it. And it begins to digest it. That's what leaven does. It digests and decomposes the bread. And it rises up and it tastes kind of good. But if you don't cook it in fire or in heat, it will destroy it and corrupt the whole thing. And as a matter of fact, if you don't cook it good enough, after a little bit, it'll start molding and corrupting because of the leaven that is in it. A cracker made out of wheat is not going to decompose and corrupt like it one that has leaven in it. Did you know that? You can make hardtack without leaven, and it's going to stay that way, and it'll keep for quite a while. But if you put leaven in it, it's going to corrupt. The only thing that will slow down the corruption is heat. Okay? Let's talk about the first parable that we have here now. That was the last parable. What is the kingdom of God like? To what shall I compare it? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw in his own garden, and it grew up and became a monstrosity. Write that down. Became a monstrosity. A freak. It became a freak. A monstrosity. A freak. Mustard. How big does mustard get? How big does the mustard plant get? You know how we got mustard over in this country? Because the padres, you know, the holy fathers of the Catholic Church, the priests, went down and they went all the way across California establishing of slave plantations. That's what they did. And they threw out mustard seed so they could trail themselves back from the mustard blooming. But it's how tall does it get? How tall does this mustard seed get? About that tall? Okay. We're not talking about mustard seed. We're talking about monstrosity. We're talking about an abnormal something. Something that's abnormal. Something that isn't right. Okay? Something that became a monstrosity. An abnormality. How many people are 12 feet tall? If you had one that tall, he'd be a what? An abnormal monster type person. Okay? We find that there are monsters in the Bible. They were fallen ones, weren't they? Those are what we call Nephilim. They were big. Okay? That's the fact. That the Bible tells that all over the place. They were monstrosities. And the monstrosities were what? Nephilim. Nephilim means what? Comes from phale, which means to fall. Fallen ones. Okay? Young lady, have you ever seen a Nephilim? You haven't seen one of those lately? Neither. I only saw one, I think, and that was enough for me. I don't want to see any more. That's what you call a Bigfoot. Well, the earth was created by God in the times, in eternity past, okay? God created the heavens, the earth, and Brother Abe quoted that from Hebrew today. Bara, Barashith, Bara, Elohim Eth HaShemayim Veha Haaretz. Okay? And God created the heavens and the earth, and the word created there is in perfect tense. And when perfect tense means what? Something's done. It's completed. In that first creation, God created everything that man would ever need in space and time throughout all of the ages. Okay? Now, the Bible never disagrees with science. Did you know that? True science. The Bible never disagrees with true science, nor true archaeology. The Bible does not do that. The Bible does not disagree with true medical science either, does it? Brother Rex came with me a question this morning that Philo had written a long time ago. He said when a child is born in the seventh month, it's usually all right. That's the seventh month of gestation period. When a child is born in the seventh month, they live most of the time. If they get past that in the eighth month and during a period of time, there's a period of time there that if they're born, they're probably going to die. Now, he said that a long time ago. You can see all type of medical facts in the Bible. The blood of the child comes from the father, not the mother. Now, everybody would think that the blood comes from the mother. But it does not. Of course, in the blood is death and an infection of sin. I mean, in the father is death and the infection of sins, and that's where the blood comes from. In all animals, the blood comes from the father. That's medical science. But the Bible teaches that. That's how Jesus was born of a virgin without a father, a man, a human, as his father. Okay? Now, God created all these things back there, and man is basically in his nature what? Man is basically led by nature what?
Sinful.
He's a greedy, sinful person, isn't he? Greed and sin. That's it. Okay? And the Bible, in the law of Moses, tells us how to take care of that in society. Before we had the law of Moses, we had the law of what? We had the law of what? Of Noah, but way back about the same time that Noah came along, what was that other law that I can think of his name in Hebrew, can't think of it in English. Means whitey. Laban. He was going by the law of Hammurabi. Yeah. That was the laws of justice that were given back then when he was dealing with Jacob. Cheated him too. We see all kinds of laws, and all of it is society is screaming for justice, isn't it? And society owes a debt to its people, and that debt is justice. That's what we all think. We all try for that. This last week, PG, he went out there, or the last two or three weeks, they went out there and took 1 acre of my ground and said, we did it by mistake. But you're just going to have to live with it. They built a road in my alfalfa field and just stole it. $500,000, $50,000 to $100,000 worth of my land. They just, it's mine now. Tough luck. That's not justice, is it? We look for justice all the time. We look for it all the time. We're all constantly seeking it. But why do we have to have judges, and why do we have to have juries, and why do we have to have police officers?
Because
people are corrupt. All over the world, no matter what it is. They tried to start righteous societies, didn't they? The Puritans did over here in this country, and the Puritans persecuted everybody else. They laid waste to the Baptists over here, the Puritans did. The Quakers. different people in society. John Calvin started his City of God. They persecuted everybody that wasn't a Presbyterian or a Calvinist. They're just hard to get true justice in there. But in the end times, God knew that man was going to be like he is. He created everything that we're going to need in the original creation. How did we get oil and fossil fuel? From the dinosaurs and from the vegetation in the first earth. In the first earth. Okay? That's what happened. And now, and we use it today. And God, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, God allowed Satan to rebel, didn't he? And destroy the earth. And then he reconstructed the earth. Okay? He reconstructed it. Simple. If you study fossil forms of life, have any of you ever study archaeology and things like that? I went over there on an archaeological tour in the Middle East, all over that country. And they talk about things that happened back yonder, okay? Back during that time. And that time really existed. How long ago? We don't know how long ago was. When we have the reconstruction of the earth, and then when man was placed on the earth, man was placed on the earth 6,000 years ago, approximately, by the way. People will try to say it's 6,000 years. It might be 7. It might be. But there was a period of time where we know that history began. What does history mean? What does history mean? When we talk about known history, what does history mean? It means His story. Literally. The story that God, when God created. We have physical history of mankind on this earth so many thousand years. That's it. Okay? And all during the time that man has been on the earth, what do we have?
Corruption.
We have corruption. We have a society that is corrupt. But in every age, God has His administrator. Does He? No? Okay. Every age, God has an administrator. Who was the administrator in the garden?
Adam.
Okay. And Adam kind of flopped, didn't he? You go and look at this chart. Go over there and Adam, what did he fail to do? What did he do?
He got married.
He failed to do one thing. Now, Bill, God gave them in marriage. Okay, that was, you know, I mean, that, you know, when you get married to somebody, you got problems. Just right off, you got problems, but sometimes you can work through them. That's just the way it is, okay? But God created man to guard the garden. Man was the guardian of all the earth. He's the guardian of all of it. And I'm not so sure he wasn't guardian of the heavens. Everything that he showed, that God showed him. Adam knew a whole lot about a lot of things that we don't have just now discovering right now, because who was his teacher? Who was Adam's teacher? God, Jehovah himself. Okay? He failed. First of all, he didn't guard it. Second, he ate. He stole. And he became a thief after that. All right, then we have Noah. We have the curse and the fall, and we have the... Noah's going to come up right over here. But right here we have a failure. They were supposed to do good and offer a blood sacrifice, and wickedness came on the earth. Genesis, the 6th chapter, we find the monstrosities. Monstrosities. We have evil angels coming down and marrying women and raising a race of monstrosities. The mustard seed was a monstrosity. It's not a good thing. So many people in the times past, without real good theological standing, said that the mustard tree was the church, and that all of the everything in the world would rest in the church, and God through the church God would bring everything into order. And then they said the woman that hid the leaven in the loaf of bread, that leaven was the gospel and that the woman was the church. I don't believe that. Matthew 16 and 18. All right, let's go to Matthew 16 and 18. I'll just quote it to you from Greek and from memory. And he said, and I say unto you that you are Peter, a little stone, but upon this gigantic foundational rock, like the rock of Gibraltar, I'll be building my church. And the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. Now, what evidence do we have there that the gates of hell are going to try to wrestle her down? That gates of hell will not be able to wrestle her down. So there's going to be a struggle in there. The church was going to have a struggle in the church age. Now, if you come here and you go back in time again, there's going to be a struggle here. Was there a struggle here in human government? Supposed to scatter and multiply. What do we have over there? Who got in power at that time? What was his name? Oh, Nimrod. Nimrod. Almost all the Babylonian, almost all the Catholic Church's doctrines started with Nimrod. Did you know that? There's a book called The Two Babylons. I don't believe everything in The Two Babylons, but it's really a good book by Hyslop. Yeah, Brother Mike.
Book of Jasher or something said, or was it you that told, took a year for them to get to the top with the bricks to the top of the tower, Nimrod's tower?
It took, well, there's some different theories about that. It talks about in the book of Jasher, it talks about in the book of Enoch. A lot of things talk about different things in history. Even Josephus talks about it. If you study the book of Josephus, he'll talk about the Tower of Babel and all that kind of stuff. But Tower of Babel was pretty tall. And by the way, the Tower of Babel was completed. It was in the perfect tense. They built it. They weren't building it. They had built the Tower of Babel. All right? They had built it. And they built a one-world government, didn't they? One-world government. There was one American president that when he said... the one world order. Who was that?
Bush's
daddy. Yeah. When he used that term, I went like this. Here he comes again, you know. And that's where he's going. That's what happened way back then. We had these monstrosities on the earth, and then we had a flood. Okay? And then over here, we have the failure to spread out and scatter and multiply. When people live in great close proximity, what do you have? What do you have in big cities? What do you have in concentrated what?
Disease.
Crime and murder and disease. It's not good for people to live like that. So God said, don't do it. If God blessed the American Indian in any way, it's because they followed those basic rules right there. They're the healthiest people in the world. At that time, they had the best medicine at that time. They had good herbal medicine, Brother Dr. John. They still use that medicine today. But I think from 70, about 70% of all pharmaceutical medicine was derived from what the Native American people did, from Australia to South America to North America. George Washington died from poor medical care. They were bleeding him to death when he needed the antibiotics and remedies, which the Indians had. God, at this point in time, divided the earth. Okay? He divided the earth, and he confused the languages. That's how the continents got. We talked about the continental drift. The continents drifted pretty fast. The continent of Atlantis. How many of you heard of this story of Atlantis? That it just disappeared. Many people now, many anthropologists and archaeologists believe that Atlantis was the American continent. When it was dividing from the European continent, that it just went beyond the horizon and it looked like it fell off. And they thought that it disappeared. But actually, here we are, Valley Baptist Church in Atlantis, maybe. Maybe, according to some theories. Brother Rex.
Do you believe Atlantis really existed?
That's just one of the things.
I think it's a myth myself.
It could have been, but many people now believe that Atlantis was the continent when they were dividing, that it just went beyond the horizon. They thought it fell apart. Okay? They thought it sunk and went into the ocean. All right. God divided the earth.
during his time. This is how the continents began to drift. If you take a globe, you can find them where they came apart. And then we have the confusion of the languages. And then God called out Abraham. And Abraham was the administrator of his kingdom, wasn't he? And then who did he hand it on to? Isaac. And then who did he hand it on to? Jacob. And Jacob became what? Israel. Now, Israel was the administrator of God's kingdom in Jesus' time, was he not? Was he? Okay. Now, let's go back and read these verses again. Therefore, he's saying, what is the kingdom of God like and what it shall be compared? We're talking about the dark side of the kingdom, the evil that's in the kingdom. It's like a mustard seed which a man took and threw into his own garden, and it grew up and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in the branches. Who are the birds in the Bible? In the parable of the mustard seed. Who are the birds? The devils. The demons. They came and rested in this false religious system. The first religious system that God ever founded was in the Garden of Eden. And who was going to be the administrator of God's kingdom after Adam died? Huh? Who was going to be the administrator of God's kingdom? Originally, who was it, Brother Mike?
His sons.
Okay, who was his firstborn son?
Cain.
Cain. And his firstborn son founded a false religion. He brought a cursed offering from a cursed earth. Instead of an animal that was innocent. He brought a cursed offering and he brought the wrong amount too. He didn't divide correctly. And then he killed one of the just... Abel was never a threat to Cain. He was only a threat to Cain because he spoke the truth. And Cain couldn't stand the truth. And we find that false religion has always persecuted the truth. All the way down. And the false religion is the mustard tree. And the false religion is the woman that hid the leaven. And leaven is always a type of evil in the Bible, never a type of good. Come over here, we have Israel goes down into Egypt. Egypt is a type of water in the Bible. The world. God calls them out with Moshe. Moshe or Moses means what? To call out or to rescue. That was his inspired name. And Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter was called what? What was her name? Her name actually meant daughter of God. If you look at in the book of Jasher. Well, they got out of Egypt and they went back into the land of Israel. And every time they did something wrong, God would chastise them, wouldn't he? He sent them down into Egypt. He told Jacob to go down there. Don't worry. You're going to be down there 400 years and I'm going to take you out. You're going to come out with a great multitude. And also some of the Egyptians came out. Some of the Egyptians believed. Not all of them. They didn't all have to be cursed. Every time that God deals with a man, he gives you a choice. Did you know that? You can either go right or left or right or wrong. You can go either way that you want to. You can do it. You can do it. They were to dwell in the land of Canaan. We found out that they were deported. The theological, much of the theological world, a lot of, and even in the Catholic system of education, they will tell you that the Bible was written in the Babylonian, the Talmud, in the period of time in the Babylonian exile. That's when the Bible was written. But that's not when the Bible was written. The Bible was written by Moses, the first part of the Bible, and Job. That was much earlier than the Babylonian captivity. But that's what they'll tell you if you study some of these theological books. Well, Israel was supposed to be looking for what all the time? Isaiah 7:14. Every book in the Bible, in the Old Testament, basically, spoke of what? A Messiah to come. Genesis 3:15 talked about a Messiah to come, the seed of the woman.
Was Israel supposed to be looking for the seed of the woman? Not too long ago, I read you the letter to Gamaliel to the Sanhedrin court and said that he believes he had found the Messiah. And this is before Jesus ever performed one miracle. Okay?
Well, now look on this chart and just follow the chart down. What was Israel's responsibility? Keep all the law. And part of that law was looking for the Messiah. Okay? And what else? What did they do? They broke the law, and what else? They rejected the Messiah to come. 2 Kings 17:7-20, and Matthew 27:1-25. Matthew, the 27th chapter, talking about Israel rejecting their Messiah
because they had a religion. Did Israel have a religion? Who had founded that religion? Who had founded the religion that Israel had? God had. But they changed it and turned it into their religion. Okay? They changed it. And they rejected Jesus Christ when he began to do his miracles, because Jesus was doing what to them? What was he doing to them? He was condemning them for their evil practices and their false worship. He was condemning them.
Right. Matthew 27:1-25. What was their judgment? Deuteronomy 28:63-68 and Luke 21:20-24. What was their judgment? They were going to be dispersed. Now Israel was dispersed for how many years?
Some of them are still dispersed, aren't they? Alright. Now, during this dispersion, who would take the reins of the kingdom?
The church.
Did Jesus call that church out in his ministry? Right there at the Sea of Galilee, he began to call that church out. Did he take the Lord's Supper with it? Did that church baptize? Did that church preach? Did that church make disciples? Sure did. Before the day of Pentecost. Day of Pentecost, the Comforter came upon them, the power of the Holy Spirit to be with them throughout the church age. Alright, until he came back again. And we find out what's going to happen to the church in the church age, Matthew 16:18. And the book of Revelation, the first three chapters. What's going to happen to the church during the church age? The church is going to have great difficulty. What is the book of Jude about? What's the book of Jude about? Go to the book of Jude real quick. The book of Jude, let's then see what it's about. The book of Jude, when I did that, I think I did 12 classes at Valley Baptist Church, taught it from Greek. And the book of Jude, if you'll write down someplace, is the Acts of the Apostates, the Acts of False Religion. The Acts of False Religion. Jude 3 says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt it completely, bindingly necessary to write to you appealing that you earnestly contend, that you fight and contend for the what? The faith. The faith, the system of teaching. Which was once and for all delivered to who? The saints. And who were the saints? Those members of the church. Verse number four now. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Those who were long beforehand marked out for their condemnation. When did God write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life? When did He write them in there? Before the creation of the earth, before He created one angel or anything else. That's when He did it. That was His eternal plan. Okay? They were marked out. They are ungodly persons. What does ungodly mean? Brother Mike, you remember what ungodly means? Ungodly. That's a little old word. It's a simple word. Ungodly. What does L-Y on the end of a word mean? Turns it into an adverb, doesn't it? That's active. Actively. Actively? What's un on the front? not related to God. Actively not related to God. They are fighting God, but they are religious. They're fighting God, but they're religious. I was on the radio last night talking to a friend of mine back in Wisconsin, and this guy come on and he started playing satanic worship music right on top, because he knows I preach and he knows that I teach the Bible. And he started playing this satanic worship music right on the air. Now, it's illegal, very illegal. Illegal. And ungodly. Actively not related to God. All right. Israel had started and perfected a religion for themselves, not for God. God gave us parables. He gave us stories about man. There was a publican and there was a Pharisee standing on a corner top. And a Pharisee was standing up there, "I thank God that I wasn't born a woman." That's one of the first things they'd say. Breast surgery. "And I thank God that I wasn't born like that rat over there without any relation to God. A sinner." And he said how good he was, and "I tithe and I do this and I do that." Did it do him any good at all? No. Why? Because he didn't have his heart straight with God. He was in the false religious system. He was nesting in the mustard tree. He was part of the leaven in the meal, in the bread. That's why. Now, Israel, when they rejected the Messiah, the rejection was his worldwide dispersion. And all this is going to take place until the end of the church age that we live in. And how far into the church age are we? Way over yonder.
Way.
Yeah, about 2,000 years into it. And then what's going to happen according to Ezekiel 36, chapter verse 20 through 24? Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19 tells that they were going to be dispersed because of their sin. And then Ezekiel 36, 20 through 24, God's going to bring Israel back in the land, and he's going to beat the tar out of them. That's exactly what he's going to beat them up. He's going to have the world whoop them. God used Hitler. Did you know that? He used him. He's a rascal, but he used him. Marilyn, could you calm that thing down just a little bit? Okay. He's going to whoop them. And he used Hitler to make them desire a homeland. By the way, did you know that almost all of the SS troopers, after when they surrendered in World War II, almost every one of them were executed by every country in the world? They tried to go to the Americans and to surrender to them, but every time the Russians or anybody else got a hold of them, they killed them, murdered them all. After they were prisoners, they killed all the prisoners, murdered them all. And do you know that the SS troopers in Hungary, in Switzerland, in Sweden, almost every country, Belgium, Finland, almost every country in Europe had SS troopers in Hitler's army? You could only be an SS trooper if you could prove German descent. And they said all those countries had German descent. They were all part German. So many of those countries had soldiers. Holland was the biggest country in Europe that had SS troopers in it. How many of you knew that? Holland. And many of the SS troopers lit out after they were being killed and hit Argentina and South America, and then they came to America and built dairies. One of the former SS commanders lived down the road from me. He lived down the road from me. And all of the commanders and all the generals had numbers with their blood type tattooed in their arms like this. And if they got hurt, anyone got killed in a skirmish or anything, they took care of them first. They had first priority because they had these numbers tattooed. You know that brother Roger, yeah. He had them. Nobody, it was nothing ever said. But that's where they came. The biggest one, and they squelched a lot of the deal, of the history of it. After this, do a little bit of history in that with you.
Well, God used World War II to bring Israel back into their land. Why?
He wanted them back in the land. Why? Because he's going to work on them real good. Now, does Israel still reject the Messiah? Have they changed any at all? They're still the God-hating, ungodly people that they always were. But God's going to bring them. He's going to save some of them. He's going to kill two out of every three of them, or have them killed. And then he's going to put them in this kingdom.
Now, the end of the church age, we'll find out that the church is going to become very corrupt according to... what is the last church age? The age that we live in. What is the last church age? What's the last period of time? What's it called?
What? Brother Mike, you remember that? Brother, you remember that young lady?
Joanne? It's called Laodicea. Laodicea. It comes from Laos and Dikia.
What's Laos mean in Greek? That means people. And what does Dikia mean? People judgment. They did what was right in their own eyes. Remember in the time of the judges, the people did what was right in their own eyes, and boy, they were a mess. In the churches will figure out, and they will corrupt the churches in the last days and make it like the world. That's what the church is going to be. It's going to look like the world. There was one church leader one time along, about 50 years ago. He said, 50 years ago, he said, we got a worldly church and a churchly world. A churchly world and a worldly church. It's good to be a Christian now, isn't it? You can put one of them fish on your business cards or whatever. You know, it's real hip now to be a Christian in some society. We got a churchy world and a worldly church. That's just the way it is in the last days. And God said, straighten up or I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. I can't stand you. That's what it says. A churchly world and a worldly church. It gets corrupt. Why does the church get corrupt? I'm talking about the true church, Catholic Church. You have to go back to 250 A.D. before it's true. That's a long time ago. Martin and Luther and Calvin never had the truth. They had come out of the Catholic Church. They cleaned it up a little bit, reformed it a little bit, but they were still not in the truth. Baptists were in the truth. And as we go down through the age, we see some of them falling aside and falling aside and falling aside. In the end times, aren't going to be very much truth left on the earth, but there will be truth. Because the Lord said the gates of hell would not wrestle us down, but the gates of hell would try to wrestle us down. And in the last days, we'll have a churchy world and a worldly church. That's just the way it's going to be. That's the way it is. Okay? But when we see that happen, what else are we going to see? The end is near. Lift up your eyes because the end is drawing near.
Ezekiel 36:20-24, we find out the regathering of Israel.
And why is Israel regathered? Because God is going to turn the reins of the kingdom over to them after He spanks them up straight. Spanks them. You ever get a spanking? Brother Isaac, you get a spanking when you're with him?
Spank you up. What did they spank you? Just be mad at you or to get you straightened out?
To straighten you out.
Brother Bill, you ever get one for straightening out? You ever get a spanking to get you straightened out?
Well, he straightened me out daily.
When you were a little kid, did you ever get spanked up straight?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, God is going to spank Israel up straight.
Israel is not the pristine, just nation that it portrays itself as. But one of these days it will be. After God gets through with it. After God gets through with it, they will be. Well, what's going to take place?
The tribulation period is divided into two pieces, isn't it? Two pieces of what? How long is the tribulation period?
7 years, according to most theologians. I'm telling you, according to most theologians. There are every kind of a idiotic idea out there you can think of. Okay? But according to most substantial theologians, it's a 7 year period of time. So half of 7 years is how much? How about you advanced mathematicians? How much? 3.5 years. So for the first 3.5 years, the Bible teaches that there's going to be relative peace. The world's looking for peace, isn't it? That nation of Israel keeps telling the world, we have got the Word of God, and we know how to run the world. If you'll just give it into our hands, we'll show you how to run the world with true peace. And of course, Jesus, last week, as we were studying God's Word, Jesus said, you reject me because of my Father backs me up. My Father does all these miracles through me. But he said, one that comes in his own name, what is it going to say? You'll fall over yourself to welcome him. You'll fall over yourself to welcome him. And according to the Word of God, according to the book of Revelation and 2 Thessalonians, if you look here, you'll see all kinds of stuff. It talks about the resurrection of the saved in Matthew 27:51-52, 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, Matthew 25:51-52, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-7, Revelation 24-6. All this talks about the resurrection. The resurrection of the saved takes place at the end of the church age. Okay? I hope I'm answering your question, Brother Isaiah. Because you can take this on video and they can watch it. His wife and her sister asked me this question at the end of the class. Of course, this young lady was here. You were up here too, weren't you? All right. Am I answering your question? All right. There's going to be a resurrection at the end of this tribulation period. Or not at the end of it, at the beginning of it. There is going to be a resurrection here, and then there's going to be a resurrection here. Right there. That's the one resurrection you don't have anything to do with, okay? There's two resurrections, at least in the Bible. Israel was dispersed. Israel is regathered. We have Israel back in the land today, don't we? May the 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. Did they not? Again. Instantly, when they became a nation, they were attacked by 5 Arab nations. And I believe that God stood by them. A lot of people ask me, does America have to stand by Israel? No. We don't mean nothing. Every nation in the world could be against Israel. And they can't whoop them. Did you know that? Except in the last half of that tribulation period, they will think they're going to be totally destroyed. Israel's going to make it through the rapture. The nation of Israel will. You can't destroy them. Martin Luther and John Calvin tried to destroy the nation of Israel. Their remarks were basically kill all of them, put them in concentration camps, and neuter all the men, and don't let the women breed until there aren't any more Jews on there. Do away with them. They killed the Messiah. They killed the Messiah, all right. But if they could have done that, they would have destroyed God's eternal purpose. Because God has a purpose for them. The Catholic Church wanted to do away with all of Israel. Did you know that? They wanted to destroy them all. Kill them all. They were God haters and they crucified the Messiah. They were God haters and they crucified the Messiah. But God still got a plan for them. Still in His economy. During the first part of the tribulation period, there will be a man come up. And he will say that he's the Jewish Messiah and he will lead that nation. And he will make a 7-year contract, a 7-year peace treaty with nations. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Yes, Brother Rex.
I wondered, why only 7 years?
We're talking about the 7-year tribulation period.
I know, but why did he say 7 years?
I don't know, but I'm sure God inspired it. All right. I mean, things happen. It might be in his head, but I'll tell you where it came from. Okay? It came from God. During that period, 7-year period of time, where is God's people going to be? Where's God's people going to be? Brother Mike? Brother Dr. John?
Heaven.
they're going to be in heaven. God's people, the church, and all the saved before this period of time are going to be up in the air with Him.
And how long was a wedding feast in the Bible? 7 days. A week. And they're going to be up there with the Lord a week of years. A week of years. The wedding feast is going
to... Seven for completion?
Seven is the number of perfection. Seven is the number of completion. That's also why the wedding week was once... It was 7 days long. The woman had 7 days to get pregnant. She had no other thing to do. The man had nothing else to do except concentrating on making babies. That was the whole story of the wedding week, okay? That was it. That's why it was a wedding feast, a wedding week. All the time. All right? That's when the Lord is going to be feasting and eating at the wedding feast in heaven for 7 years. Down on the earth, all hell is breaking loose. But Israel is going to be brought back. He's going to get their attention.
God will get Israel's attention. Now, there are a lot of verses that we could go into in the Bible. We could go through them all, but if I did, we should be going too slow. Okay.
We never get through this. Right in the middle of it, what's going to happen? What's going to make Israel realize that they have accepted the wrong Messiah?
Brother Rex.
When the Antichrist stands up and claims...
Now, there's going to be a temple built back in Jerusalem. There's going to be a temple built in Jerusalem, okay?
There will be a temple built in Jerusalem, and they will begin their sacrifices again. And they have the Temple Mount group that want to go in and build a temple. They tried to go in there and build a temple in there. There's room to build a temple in there, by the way. I mean, you can hear all kinds of stuff with different people. Zola Levitt said that they would never build a temple on that area behind the Mosque of Omar, but they can. I mean, but they said, that's profane. If not, the Mosque of Omar is going to have to go. Maybe the Mosque of Omar is going to have to go. I don't know. But there's going to be a temple in that temple area. People used to ask Zola Levitt, and he's a Jew, and they'd ask him, he said, I'm proud I'm a Jew and all this kind of stuff, but my people rejected the Messiah, and I want them to hear the Word of God, and I want them to believe in the Messiah. Because if they don't believe in the Messiah, they get to go the tribulation period. And he said, I'm not going. I am washing my hands of Israel when the rapture comes. I'm going up. I love my people, but those that do not hear, they're going to get to stay here. He said, I'm going up. He's already gone up now. You know, he's with the Lord anyway. His body's hanging around down here. He came and spoke at this church, did you know that? A long time ago. And he was acquainted with me. He linked his website to my website, discovertheword.com, at that time. Anyway, when the Antichrist stands up in the temple in Jerusalem and says that I am God, you worship me. Do you know that that man is the embodiment? This man may be a Jew, will probably be a Jew, because I don't think Jew is going to accept anybody but a Jew for a Messiah, is he? And this virgin-born Messiah the first time was virgin-born, wasn't he? Who was his father? God. Now this second Messiah, the false Messiah, is going to be virgin-born too. Who's going to be his father? Satan. Lucifer is going to overshadow a woman and bring forth his seed. And his seed will be him. That will be his physical manifestation on this earth. And that Messiah, that false Messiah, is going to be worshipped as God for a short time. And when he stands up and he becomes to be worshipped as God, the Jews that are going to believe will flee and run. Are you paying attention, young lady? Is this telling you something? This is what it's all about. Isaiah? Are you? You think this will help your wife and her sister? What we're talking about? Brother Bill, see, I had a question to answer today. When that false Messiah stands up and does that, the real believers will be born again in one night. Just like that.
all of Israel that is going to be saved. Now, two-thirds of them are going to be killed. But the ones that are going to believe, that are going to be born again, the 144,000, what it's talking about, there's going to be at least 144,000 of them out of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. I believe that. So I believe there's going to be 144,000 of them and at least be saved from all the 12 tribes. And what are they going to do according to the Scriptures?
Witnesses.
They're going to be witnesses. During this period of time, there's going to be two witnesses stand up in Jerusalem, aren't they? During this terrible time. Israel is going to flee to what most theologians believe is Petra. That's why I'm saying most theologians. I'm not putting this and making it walk on all four legs, okay? Because it could be different, but this is what most people will agree with. Most people agree that they're going to flee down to Petra. And God will protect them. The armies of the Antichrist will come after them, and God is going to open up the earth and use some type of natural, physical disaster to kill the armies. Earthquakes, whatever, you know, earth's going to swallow. God's going to use the earth to kill them. He's going to have lightning storms there or something. By the way, the word thunder in Hebrew, what does it mean, Brother Roger? It means voice. They thought every time it thundered, they heard the voice of God. That's what it means, the voice of God. That's what thunder means. It's going to thunder, it's going to lightning, it's going to do all kinds of stuff. God's going to protect Israel. They're going to flee down there. And then Satan is going to be worshipped for about 3.5 years. He's going to be worshipped. There's two witnesses going to stand up in Jerusalem. Now, who are these two witnesses? Daniel, John, Isaiah,
Enoch,
Elijah, Moses, Daniel. That's what one time in the class when I was teaching the book of Revelation, I think I gave 17 people that could be the two witnesses. I don't believe it's going to be Elijah and Enoch because they're a type of the rapture, and God's going to take the rapture people and send them back to die. I can tell you that much. The Bible says it's appointed unto all men wants to die, and that after that's a judgment. And they said, see, that's a biblical fact. But Enoch and Elijah are a type of the rapture. I don't think they're going to be the ones. God could use anybody, but these are going to be supernatural powered witnesses that are going to stand in Jerusalem. They're going to do miracles. They're going to do all kinds of stuff. And they're going to prophesy for God. They're going to prophesy. And then the devil is going to kill them and show how much power he's got. He's going to kill God's witnesses. And how long are they going to lay out there in the streets dead? How many?
Three
days without burial. What's that a type of? Jesus. Okay. 3 days. And it's going to be televised all over the world. There's going to be decapitations. That's what the Bible says. There's going to be public executions. Decapitations for people that won't believe in this false Messiah and worship the devil. You will be killed. There are going to be many people going to be saved during that time, but their lives are going to be in complete danger. 5 out of every 6 people in the world will die. 5 out of every 6. Put your hands up. Like this. Do this. Everybody do this. Do that. That's all it's going to be. Out of 5/6 of the world is going to die. And do this. 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to die. The world is going to be depopulated. We got a lot of people in the world today. How many people we have in the world today, Brother Roger? Huh?
7 billion.
Around 7 billion people. 7 billion. That means that over 6 billion are going to die. And the animals are going to die. And the birds are going to die. And the fish in the sea are going to die. The cockroaches will die. Everything's going to die. The earth is going to die. The trees and the oceans are going to become dead. What in the world today keeps the world alive? What is the one entity that keeps the world alive? The oceans. They re and cleanse and they build and rebuild the earth. It's very important. When mankind changes the environment,
Have you noticed the last couple of years that we don't hardly have any fogs in the San Joaquin Valley? Have you noticed that? Huh? You know why? Because all our water has gone along Los Angeles Water and Power. It's leaving the valley. There's nothing here. It's all leaving. The Owens Valley, when they took all the water down to Los Angeles out of the Owens Valley, it became a desert. It was not a desert before. It didn't even rain in the mountains anymore. They quit having the evening thunderstorms up there in the Sierras and the snowstorms all year long. I was up there in the very beginning when it was still doing that. And every year, there's less and less snow and less snow and more drought and more dust. And that the San Joaquin Valley is about to become a dust bowl. Go up there and look at Owens Valley and you'll see what we're going to become because of the greed of a few men. That's it. That's what we've always had to fight, isn't it? The greed of a few men. The greed. Power. What is the one sinful inspiration that people have? They want to have money and they want to have power and they want to manipulate other people. Well, for a short time, Satan, the dark side of the kingdom, is going to have his day, but I'm telling you what, it's going to be a short time. Now, which way do you want to go? Do you want to go into the tribulation period or do you want to go up? That's the story. Do you want to go in there and see all these personal miracles and things that the devil's going to do and be part of that society, or do you want to leave? I would like to exit and get out of here before all that breaks loose. Thank you for your attention. I hope that I answered your question and went on with the deal. The dark side of the kingdom, the leaven and the mustard tree.